Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
This last week, if you've been fortunate enough to be in Los Angeles and headed over to Sunset Boulevard, you'd have been able to ogle through some of the most spectacular wonders on Earth. From museum-quality minerals, gold nuggets the size of a fist, to meteorites and dinosaur eggs, they were all part of the most recent Bonhams and Butterfield's sensationally successful series of natural history auctions. In just a moment, we talk with a man whose job it is to select, describe, and put a price on each piece when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wild Side News. I'm down in San Diego, and this last weekend, I wish I was up in L.A., and I don't say that a lot, because L.A. is a great big city, beautiful city, a lot going on, but it's a big, big, big city. But I'll tell you what, I wish that I was there, because there was an event that really celebrates the extraordinary nature of nature and the wonders of the earth. And believe it or not, it occurred at an auction house, a legendary auction house, the Bonhams and Butterfields, which actually have auction houses in San Francisco and L.A. and New York, and we'll talk about that. But whereas typically, and I've been to some of their auctions, they run through antique chairs and furniture and jewelry and things and paintings, almost everything. Well, they also have a regular natural history auction, and this happened this last Sunday. And it, when you look at the catalog, it is, for anyone who likes nature, this becomes a celebration of the wonder of nature. And I have on the phone a guy who I envy in many respects, who has the opportunity to work with Bonhams. He's their natural history consultant, and he assists in all of these auctions. And so I want to welcome to the show someone who I expect to get to know much better in the years ahead here. Tom Lindgren, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Well, thank you, Sydney. I really appreciate this opportunity to speak with you.
First of all, let's talk about Bonhams and Butterfields and this natural history auction. How long have they been doing this?
Well, actually, the auction last Sunday was the 15th consecutive natural history auction since natural history came back to America here. It started with Phillips in New York in 1995. And ran with a series of auctions there until they ran their course. And at that time, I'd been actually consigning some material that I had to their auction, and felt bad when it was no longer a possibility to actually participate in such an amazing event. And the opportunity just kind of arose as I'd moved from northern Utah to California to approach Bonhams and Butterfields. And say, you know what, wouldn't it be fun to have natural history in Los Angeles again? They tried it for a while, and for 2 years had backed off from it. It just, for whatever reason, had not worked. And I was lucky enough for them to give me an opportunity, a one-auction contract, and the next thing you know, here we are 3 years later having 8 auctions, and last Sunday actually breaking an all-time auction record for natural history, over $2 million in sales.
Why don't we start out, for people who want to find out more about Bonhams and Butterfields, their website is www.bonhams.com/US, and I would assume a lot of this information, the images and things, are still on the website there?
Oh, yes. We maintain for at least a few weeks here, but I know the auction results normally are maintained for a year on the website. Mm-hmm. And then upcoming auctions are certainly about a month before we have our next auction, which appears to be in May in 2007. We will have the images and the lots for our next auction available.
Now, do they have this just in L.A., or do they do San Francisco and New York as well?
Well, actually, in 2006, we started the year in New York and did very well with the New York auction, and then had 2 consecutive auctions here in Los Angeles. Next year, we're planning on doing New York again. And if we're fortunate, we may actually do London. The main office for Bonhams and Butterfields, actually, Bonhams is based out of London. And so we've been pressured to bring natural history back to Europe. And what a wonderful opportunity it would be to actually use the London facilities.
Well, let's talk about this auction. You create a series of different categories in the auction. Why don't you talk about how you kind of look at natural history and how then you bring that to life through these auctions?
Well, you know, this past year, we've been very fortunate to actually have some collections available to us. And like in the past auction, we had what has been referred to as a Levi Smith collection, which was an amazing collection of mineral specimens that had been exhibited in the 1893 World Exhibition in Chicago, and it actually won a top award at that exhibition, and subsequently had been sold to Mr. Levi Smith, upon which he donated to his local school district that decided, we can't exhibit this wonderful collection, but how about the University of Pennsylvania? So in 1935, the University of Pennsylvania had the opportunity to take this amazing collection of 19th century minerals and have them for the next 60 years on exhibit. But at some point, the university said, we don't have room for this anymore, gave them back to the school district, and the school district at that point didn't even know that they still owned these beautiful specimens. We were approached and said, how about offering these through Bonhams? And what happened, using that as a core for this auction, we built around that because of this amazing interest of this university collection of minerals, which, by the way, did very, very well in all avenues. I think we sold, of the 120 lots, I think we sold 115, which in auction terms is a very, very successful auction.
Yes, it is.
But, you know, from that, we build a mineral section, we build a fossil section, we build a curiosity section, we build sections in the catalog of lapidary arts, because certainly lapidary arts, such as the beautiful carvings from Eder Oberstein, Germany, from some of the famous mineral carvers that go back many hundreds of years, are still out there and available and highly collectible. So as an artistic type of portion of our catalog, along with the many, many colored gemstones, and what we'd like to do is we'd like to present an auction presents itself in a way that anyone looking at this can say, you know, this is something, didn't we see this at the Natural History Museum? Anything that you might see in a Natural History Museum certainly is open for consideration for inclusion in our auctions.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that really struck me in the catalog, and people can find this on the website, were some of, as you say, the carved minerals. Is it Eder Oberstein?
Eder Oberstein, Germany, which is world famous for the lapidary arts that were developed over hundreds of years. In fact, some of the families that have been carving for the last 250 years are still carving with family members.
Huh.
It's amazing how they've passed on this amazing art.
It's beautiful. I hadn't really seen this. I haven't seen much of the carved minerals. One of them that really strikes me is 8414, gemstone carving of two herons. There it is, yeah. Gorgeous, gorgeous piece of work, integrated with the gold legs and the diamond eyes. And a piece like that, $7,000 to $9,000. I don't know what it went for at auction. I have the results here, but I don't have it before me. Anyways, amazing, beautiful, beautiful interpretations, some older, some newer. Let's talk about just the minerals themselves. You are involved with minerals. You're a paleontologist. Why don't you talk a little bit about what brought you to focus in this area in your life?
Well, it's actually a hobby that I turned into a business. I've taken a life's passion and decided that it would be more fun to do the things in life that bring smiles to my face and to other people than to be working in a situation where every morning when you get up, you know, it's like, okay, here I'm doing this again. But every morning I wake up with the positions that I'm in right now, it's just exciting, like, which phone call am I going to get today? What new, amazing item am I going to have the opportunity to actually look at, to handle, to possibly take to the next level of collections? Most natural history museums in this country were started with private collections that had been donated. In fact, I've been involved with donating portions of my collections to a few of the smaller museums around the country because there were rarely ever any funds available for these museums to buy the material. But starting a museum with donations, with small collections, and building from that point is just something that I've always found to be very interesting from the fact, going back with Thomas Jefferson and his interest in natural history. And it's such an amazing business to be involved with. And so Bonhams has provided a means and a vehicle by which some of the most amazing material in the world can be offered to anyone in the world.
You see some spectacular examples of representations of natural history. What are some of the things that have really stood out that you particularly appreciate?
One of my certainly close passions to my heart are the fossils of the Green River Formation of Wyoming. Internationally recognized for the beauty and the preservation and the aesthetic presentation that they bring. We've had some of the most amazing fossil turtles. I've found that people that actually collect natural history, if they're into things that crawl, fly, slither, all of these things that we can equate with the things that we were doing as children, and we find it an interesting art in being able to touch and feel and on a daily basis experience the amazing connection between the past and these amazing, amazing perfectly preserved fossils from the Green River Formation.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working with those materials for over 25 years, and I've never, ever go without a day when I'm not surprised by something new that comes out of there.
Now, what's the nature of that particular area and its fossil content?
Well, this is a 51-million-year-old limestone sediment that it basically encases fauna that lived in a freshwater environment similar to possibly a climate that was like Southern California or Southern Florida, where you had palm trees and alligators and monster turtles. It's at a time when the Earth was globally probably 15 degrees warmer than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about global warming, global warming certainly is a problem right now. But back then, the Earth was much, much warmer. So you had just an amazing fauna that without the dinosaurs had already passed on, and we're at the beginning of the age of mammals starting to get into their own. So it's just an amazing, amazing cross-section of 51-million-year-old insects, dragonflies, turtles, crocodiles. 3 years ago, the first complete fossil horse was found. It's probably the finest, one of the finest fossils I've ever seen in my life. It was just exhilarating and exciting to see this piece, and it's still in the hands of the collector that found it, although the Field Museum in Chicago sounds like they eventually they will be able to acquire the specimen, which would be fabulous and fantastic.
That brings up an interesting question that I'm sure a lot of people are already wondering about, and that is, when you go to a regular Bonhams and Butterfields auction, there's a certain type of clientele there, fairly finely dressed and a colorful bunch. But is there a bit of a difference to the natural history crowd? Are there a little few more pith helmets and safari jackets, or who are these collectors?
I think you'd be surprised at the cross section of clients that actually come to the auction or actually participate online. Most of the clients we've been working with over the past 3 years have been fairly new to natural history.
Hmm.
They've been collectors in their own right, whether they're collecting antiques, whether they're collecting coins. But a collector is a collector. And I think you and I both understand the mentality of a collector. I mean, I'm terrible. When it comes to collecting rare books and antiquities, I see something, I almost have to possess it. And a lot of the fun is actually the chase of looking for the item, and once you have it, then the excitement goes to what can I have next.
Mm.
But I've found that the clientele that we work with have been looking for materials they can bring into their homes and actually can enjoy them in their home environment. And we push a large portion of our auction into the decor section.
Mm-hmm.
Fossils and minerals and related items that can be used in the interior environment to bring the beauty of nature into the home.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does that. These wonders definitely do. And the thing that I find thrilling about them is the fact that it is a representation of what I would call the truth, that is to say nature. This is the truth in form, and it's a miraculous truth. When you look at the minerals, you look at the shapes and forms of life that has happened, to me, it is a direct, it's a capacity for me to literally touch things that are real and have absolute significance, and I consider them power objects. I just really do. I like to be around things that perhaps have been around for a few hundred million years or more. It's very, very powerful. On the cover of this particular auction catalog was a spectacular display. Why don't you talk about that find, where it came from, and then also it reached a sort of historic levels of auction pricing at this auction?
Well, the cover lot, and of course the key lot of this entire auction, was an egg nest with embryonic dinosaurs just at the stage of being ready to hatch, when the nest had been destroyed in some sort of cataclysmic event 65 million years ago. They are an oviraptorid species. There was a complete nest with 22 eggs, of which 19 of the eggs actually had embryonic remains in them. This egg nest had been originally collected in China in 1984. And that was at the time of the early collection of fossils in China, and fossils being exported out of China to Hong Kong, to all parts of the world. This is at a time when fossils were really starting to come into their own everywhere. Fossils from North Africa, fossils from South America. Everyone was really starting to get into it, and really hit its peak when Jurassic Park, the movie, aired in, I believe it was 1993. The fury to possess specimens of either amber or dinosauria were huge. But in the process of collecting this egg nest collection, the original buyer took it on to Hong Kong. And you understand, when these are found in nature, they're still encased in their sandstone or limestone, whatever it would be. And it takes many, many hours, in fact, thousands of hours sometimes, as this egg nest ended up taking, to prepare to really reveal the beauty and the content, what's inside. And in Hong Kong, 20 years ago, they start to try and do some preparation, and suddenly, you know, are hit with the fact that there's something other than just an eggshell here. There's little bones. Mm-hmm. And it was well beyond their capacity. So they stopped the work, which mm-hmm. I applaud them for. Because one thing that I've found through my association with the fossil business is that if you don't prepare a fossil properly, you can destroy not only the beauty, but any of the scientific information that's still contained mm-hmm. within that in mere seconds by just a slip of a tool or not understanding what it takes to really reveal the delicacies that are involved with this nest. So from that point, it was sold to a fellow in Taiwan who took it to Taiwan and thought that he would be able to handle the preparation on it. They recognized it was something significant, but they also realized that, you know, it's probably worth more than what they had thought initially, and they were smart enough to understand, let's not mess it up. Let's mm-hmm. find someone that can do the proper work on this. Well, in Taiwan, they found they didn't have the technologies or the techniques. And some of these techniques have been developed in the past 20 years. The use of micro-air abrasive units, you know, microscopic preparation with acids, all sorts of different techniques that, when you're talking something as delicate as a complete embryonic dinosaur, it needs to be done very slowly and with every technique available to the preparator today. Well, they eventually decided we can't do this either. There's more here than what we see. So we were fortunate enough that an American collector decided, I'm willing to take this, I'm willing to buy it from you, I'm willing to bring it to the United States where we've got some of the best preparators in the world, and let's see what we can do. Well, in the process of doing that, the collector's son, who is currently working on his master's thesis in paleontology and plans to go on for his doctoral, one of his specialties was doing tiny preparation. He actually, over the past 3 years, has spent many, many hours. I mean, they didn't give me the exact number, but I'll tell you, looking at this egg nest, there's thousands of hours of work put into this. And in the process of doing that, has collected data and is doing scientific comparisons of the embryos in each one of the eggs, is doing thin sectioning of the eggshells, has collected a plethora of scientific information that will eventually be published within the next year in an American journal. They're considering three different journals right now, and part of the work that is being done will actually be used toward his master's thesis and possibly doctoral work.
It's a stunning piece. I've never seen anything like it. It's, what, about 27 inches across? It's a circular piece. And if a person can imagine, a viewer, and I probably will have an image of this on the website, but or you can find it on Bonham's website. But it's a circular piece, and then there are these oval eggs around the perimeter of this, 21 is it? 21 eggs?
Oh, that's 22 eggs represented.
22. There. And then somehow, I don't know if someone went inside to uncover the little fossil dinosaurs, which are raptors, they're birds, but some eggs, you literally see inside the eggs. And you see these little bones, these little baby birds inside there. It's a work of art. It's assembled and presented by nature. It's a stunning piece.
Well, it's probably the single finest fossil specimen I've ever had the privilege to actually see. I mean, I've been to museums all over the world. I've done intensive research into some of the best and finest that have ever been found. But from an aesthetic point of view, from a scientific point of view, and from just the quality of the specimen itself, I've never seen a finer fossil.
I agree. It's magic. It's a lucky find.
And we had estimated the egg nest from $180,000 to $220,000. And that estimate, I had to go with what my gut felt about things based upon what I've seen. I've seen individual dinosaur eggs with embryos sell in the past, but. And we were fortunate enough to set an all-time world record for a single fossil selling at a natural history auction of $420,000.
Yeah. Wow. That's extraordinary. Nature is on the rise here. The value of nature is being perceived. I mean, there's many ways to interpret all of this. I think one of the messages is that people are beginning to really, truly appreciate the wonder, and they're putting a higher literal value on it. $420,000, that's a lot of money for a fossil. Now, I realize that in many cases the buyer is not revealed. Can you say anything about the buyer in this particular case? Is that public information, or is this being held fairly close?
Well, we really can't release a name without the buyer's permission.
I understand that.
And at this time, I don't know that they really know what they eventually will do with the specimen, but at this time they've asked that they remain anonymous, and we certainly will uphold our agreement with them, that we will not reveal their name unless they allow us to. All I know is they have a tremendous passion for the piece, a great appreciation for it, and if you'd have been in the auction room, you would have seen the excitement of the two phone bidders. We had two bidders on the phone that carried this beyond our wildest expectations, and they both didn't want to go home without the specimen. So it was just an exciting time, probably the most exciting lot that I've ever been involved with or seen at a single auction. When the bid finally ended up going to, luckily for me, the client that I was on the phone with, the entire room erupted in applause and clapping and shouting. It was just so amazing.
Now, of course, you imagine you have a lot of institutional buyers as well who get involved in these kinds of things. You meet some interesting people.
Well, what was nice for me is Louis Chiappa from the L.A. County Museum came to our preview party and was very, very impressed with the quality of the work that had been done on the egg nest. He's written a wonderful book on baby dinosaurs and dinosaur eggs, so he's very familiar with this, probably one of the world experts on this. And said, unfortunately, the policies that the L.A. County Museum has, and many of the museums actually in this country, are that unless it's been collected in a scientific expedition as such, through a group that's associated with the museum or university, they can't even accept a specimen like this as a donation, which is very, very sad. Whereas museums outside of the country, such as, I mean, I wouldn't put it past eventually a specimen like this being part of a museum outside of this country, possibly even back in China. You just never know.
Not only do you have the minerals and fossils and, of course, jewelry, cut minerals and carved minerals, but you also go off the planet here. And as a matter of fact, I was visiting Bonham's one time, and I came across this huge meteorite. I think there were one or two of them. but no one could even lift the thing. I don't know how much it weighed. They're so heavy. But you also get into interstellar, interplanetary wonders. Talk about some of the things that you've witnessed coming through the auction from that perspective.
Well, meteorites have been a hot commodity for a very, very long time. And middle 1990s to the early 2003-2004, the interest in meteorites grew to such a point that everyone wanted to be a dealer. The collectors were turning into becoming dealers because they would buy material and be able to sell part of it to pay for their collection as prices were starting to escalate. This year in our New York auction, we had a couple amazing Campo meteorites, which are from Argentina, that were so artistic in their presentation that we've got amazing prices approaching $90,000 for one of the very sculptural meteorites that was presented like a sculptural piece of art. And the client that bought this specimen bought it because it was an artistic piece. We originally estimated $40,000 to $50,000 on this specimen, and it brought nearly $90,000.
One of the things that really caught my eye in the catalog is a rare narwhal tusk. People kind of hear about them and you see them, but this is really, and plus from my perspective, it's the literal beauty of the form that thrills me. There's many aspects, but this is really extraordinary, this rare narwhal tusk.
Both of the tusks we had in our auction came out of collections that are pre-1970. They've gone back quite a ways, but the beauty of the narwhal tusk itself, the way it spirals, it's where one of the myths of the unicorn. It looks like the horn of a unicorn.
Yes, it does.
And just absolutely phenomenal. And, to tell you the truth, I thought they brought prices that were very, very favorable compared to what I expected. I just didn't realize that the interest in a narwhal was such that we would get four times our estimates. On the smaller narwhal tusk, we got close to $5,000 for the tusk that was estimated at like $1,500.
Yes, and by the way, this narwhal tusk is close to 6 feet long.
Well, the six foot one actually brought almost $16,000.
$16,000, yeah, exactly. There's a natural proclivity for people to, first of all, respond to nature. I've been a collector all my life. I've gone through stones and insects and all sorts of things. And to me, it gives me a lot of really priceless information about the reality of my planet, which serves me well. For people who have been collecting or perhaps have things that they think may be of interest to you, and quite honestly, there's probably priceless things, just extraordinary wonders, that individuals have collected or found, or some grandparent or been passed on through the family, how can they find out, for example, if this is something that that may be of interest to a wider audience?
Well, one of the things that has worked very well is to go to one of our appraisal clinics or the appraisal clinic of any of the auction houses around the country. Bring your item even to the Antiques Roadshow. I've seen some natural history items coming in. We've had referrals from the show come to us. But if you are unable to do something like that, email images to the Natural History Department at bonhams.com, and we will at least give you an idea of what you have. What I've found is that a lot of the wonders of the natural world have come to us from estates where the collector himself or herself has passed on, and the family has no interest whatsoever and quite often has no idea on the value of the material. And we've been fortunate enough when we can have access because they've heard of us, and they will come and bring some of this material. And in that, sometimes we've found items that they really didn't realize was a value, and suddenly here's a $50,000 fossil cat skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, it was just a bunch of bones.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's nice to have an opportunity to something that looks unusual. Maybe you don't appreciate it, but I tell you what, your father or your mother or your grandfather, there was a reason they collected this.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often, listen to what they've said, what they've done, and it's not always going to be a treasure, but it was a treasure to them for some reason. And quite often, you'd be surprised at what you end up with.
Well, Tom Lindgren, we could go on forever talking about these kinds of things. It's just, it's a fascinating realm. It truly is. I hope to open up some of my listeners' eyes to this arena because it's fascinating. And now, not everything is at $419,000 or $16,000. There's some extraordinarily beautiful things that minerals and different objects that go for $300, $400. So it's open to everybody. Everybody can go and really appreciate it. And you can just attend an auction. It's a whole world all unto its own. Plus, you'll be able to see some extraordinary wonders. So, Tom, in terms of the next natural history auction that's coming up, what can people look forward to?
Well, we certainly once again will have an amazing array of minerals and fossils. But as we've seen the gold market continue to increase, interest in natural gold nuggets has really taken on a new interest to the point where we're finding that sculptural beautiful nuggets are becoming more available than not being melted down anymore. And you'll see in our next auction some amazing specimens that we've been able to acquire out of Australia.
And I have to imagine that as this becomes more popular and people are able to make sizable sales, that a lot of this will come out of private collections and become available on a larger realm to us, people out here who don't have access to these, who hadn't had access to this type of material in the past.
Well, what I've found and what I've been involved with in the past is the very finest material rarely ever gets to the public eye, to the public market, because there's been so many private collectors that have said, if you see something like this, give me a call. You know, I would be the one very interested in acquiring the specimen. And, everyone's been like, well, this is a great situation. But by having an auction, you can put it in front of everyone. And then everyone has an opportunity. And all you need is two people that feel the same way about an object, just like the dinosaur egg nest. And the sky is the limit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tom Lindgren, when's the next auction coming up?
Currently, we're planning an auction in Los Angeles the third week of May 2007.
Mm-hmm. So people can go to Bonhams.com and find out about that?
They can go to Bonhams.com. And if anyone has something of interest that they would like to offer, please feel free to get a hold of us and give us an opportunity to sell it for you.
Well, Tom Lindgren, who is the natural history consultant with Bonhams and Butterfield's Auction House, fascinating, fascinating area. I'm going to make it up for the next one for sure. There's no doubt about that. Tom, thanks so much for adding your voice here on the Wild Side News.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, Sydney.
There's always something exciting to report about the wonders of our Earth, and that's what we do each Thursday. This is Sydney Wildsmith inviting you to join us then or any time on the archives as we bring you the voices that speak up for our Earth. So until next time, I say adios until we meet again here on the Wild Side News.